love that song, As the Deer. It's a song of worship. Of course, taken directly out of the Word of God. Psalms chapter 42. That ought to be our prayer, every one of us. Psalms 119. Ought to be our prayer. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. That's submitting. That's true surrender. Amen. Thank you, girls, again for that song. One of the risks that we run, and I've shared this with the choir multiple times, even back when I was assistant pastor, we said it regularly. One of the risks that we run is we get into the rhythm and routine of singing something, but we don't always understand the meaning. And we've talked about that in choir practice regularly. And I want to make sure that we sing it from the heart and we have an understanding of what we're singing and how it was meant to be sung. And I like songs that just give the worship back to where it belongs. Psalms 119, if you're there, stand with me. It's going to be verse number 165. Don't worry, we won't read the whole chapter. It is the longest chapter in the Bible. I can't tell you how many messages I have preached out of Psalms 119. It is an endless well. So much truth. Every bit of it centered on the Word of God. We're going to read one verse, though. And I'm going to preach a message trying to help you understand some basics. One of the teenagers, I won't mention her name, but her initials are Blair Crabtree, said during the handshake song she was offended by something. And I was over there by my wife. I said, well, good thing I'm preaching on that tonight. She's like, no, you're not. I said, no, legit, real talk. The title of my message is How Not to Be Offended. It's right here. It's great when people say the right thing at the right time, you know. Be careful, you might be an illustration. Psalms 119. I love being in church. I love having fun. Verse 165 is the only verse we're going to read, then we'll pray. It says, great peace. And again, that peace is not the hippie peace. It's the peace we talked about this morning. That serenity, that calmness, that moment, that peace. Great peace have they which love thy law, that's referencing the Word of God, and nothing shall offend them. Preach a message entitled, How Not to Be Offended. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Help us, Lord. We live in a day and age today where people wear their feelings on their shoulders. We live in a day and age where people scroll through social media just to look to see where they can get offended. Many times people get offended at the drop of the hat and they drop the hat themselves. But Lord, your word tells us that we can have peace if we love your book. And it also says very specifically, nothing shall offend us. Lord, help us to understand this truth and to understand what offense it really talks about and what that really means. Teach us your word tonight. We'll praise you. We'll thank you. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Today, as you know, we live in a society where everybody has an opinion. And everybody is offended that somebody doesn't agree with them. That's just the society we live in. Everyone has a platform. Social media has given everybody a platform. People have Twitter and they log all these statements on there. And I heard a preacher say several different times about different social medias. It was kind of hilarious. He said, Instagram makes you think that you're a photographer. Twitter makes you think that you're smart and you have opinions. And Facebook makes you think you have friends. because you have all these followers. And poking fun of some things. But we live in a society today where everyone lives practically online, but they many times get so riled up just because somebody doesn't agree with them. Well, newsflash, not everybody's going to agree with you. It's life. Get over it. My favorite team is the Dallas Cowboys. Brother Nick doesn't agree. His favorite team is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Gary doesn't agree. He's, hey, we're going to start a fight in church. But this is what I'm talking about. Everyone has an opinion. And Lord help us all if somebody doesn't agree with us, because we're just going to lay the hammer down. God help family reunions, right? I got an opinion about this, and this is why people often say when you talk about religion and politics, it's going to wreck and ruin your family get-togethers, because everyone's got opinion. I was talking with somebody here recently, and they said, you know, I try my hardest. He said, I'm a conservative, and I vote along those lines, but I try my hardest when I am getting together with family to not say anything about politics, anything about religion, because it just drives the wedge. And if you want the meal to end, that's how it's going to happen. Brother Brandon, you know, I talk about that. What was that dessert you liked, that pink what? Pink stuffing. He's telling me about it. Growing up, he'd go, was it grandma made it? And always had this pink stuffing. But his dad, every time, right before it was dinner, right when it was time to eat, he'd always stir up a conversation. Always get people fist a flying. He's like, all right, boy, grab your stuff. We're leaving. He's over here getting stuff out of the dessert line. But I got to get this. I got to take it with me. Listen, we live in a society where people are easily offended. People walk around offended. They walk around Walmart, and if you cut them off, they'll chew your head off just because they're already offended. It's not that you did anything wrong. Well, you may have, zooming through the aisles like a mad heathen. It's not that you intentionally tried to wreck and ruin their day. They just have a bad attitude. And if you want a bad attitude, go to Walmart. It'll happen. It happens to me every time. But there are times legitimately, as we spoke of this morning, where we get hurt. There are times legitimately where we have been wronged, where some offense does occur. Well, how are we supposed to respond to that? Because the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So am I not supposed to be offended? But do you not realize we live in 2025? Everybody's offended about something. That's why people say the Bible's outdated. But it's not outdated. I'll give you the application of what this means very quickly, very simply. There are times where we will be offended, or an offense will happen, but we ought not live in a state of offense. We ought not live in a state of being offended. God's will is for us to not be offended. That's what the Bible says. Nothing shall offend them. Now look at the word offend. And the word offend literally means to lay a stumbling block, to cause to fall, or to ruin, to bring an offense, or to become an obstacle. So, this is what this means. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall become an obstacle to them. Okay? Sometimes when you define a word, you need to reuse it in the same sentence. So we're going to do that with our Bible. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall cause them to fall. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall ruin them. These are the definitions we just used. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall lay as a stumbling block to them. Now we're reading the same Bible, correct? All right? It doesn't mean that offenses aren't going to happen. It doesn't even mean that offenses aren't going to personally happen to each of us. Offenses will happen. Just bet your bottom dollar it's going to happen. You can count it. Death, taxes, two things guaranteed, and offenses. Three. We're going to keep writing a book, all right? There are things that are going to happen. But how can I live my life as a child of God not allowing something to ruin me? Not allowing something to be a stumbling block to me? Not allowing something to become an obstacle in my life? Okay? How can I live? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So how can I live my life not being offended? Offenses are going to happen. But how can I live by not being offended? Now, here the Word of God says nothing shall offend us. Meaning if we love the Word of God like we should, and if we're walking with God like we should, nothing from the Word of God should cause us to stumble. Okay? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing in that book will cause us to stumble in our relationship with God. Okay? I'm going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to read the Bible. There's going to be times I'm going to come across some very hard truths. But if I'm walking with God like I should, if I'm praying like I should, if I've got my relationship with God how it should be, then that hard truth, it may be difficult in the flesh to swallow, but it's not going to keep me from serving God. Are we following along? It's not going to ruin my relationship. I was talking with somebody just several months ago. They had asked a question about one of the messages that I had preached. I had preached on Ahaziah, I think. And how he had killed all the dissenters in the area and even killed their children. It was on a Sunday morning. And go through how he was walking with God, and at the end of his life, he ruined it all because he lifted himself up in his own pride. And somebody had asked me about it later that week. They had been stewing on the message. And they had a problem with one of the first things that I said at the beginning of the message, about the fact that he killed the children. So because they were going to raise up and they were going to be the ones. He should have killed them all because they were the ones that rose up and killed him in the end. Okay? But because he let the little things by, then it ended up biting him later on. Just like in our lives, we let a little sin hang around and it destroys us. Well, this person had asked me later on in the week. I said, I got a problem with that. I don't understand it. It's bothered me all week long. I was like, look, the message wasn't meant to offend you. And the message isn't even talking about abortion, because they were trying to tie in abortion. It's like, no, it's not the case. The fact is, these children were trained in the ways of their parents, the paganism and the idolatry. And because he killed the parents, he needed to just wipe out the whole colony. Because that's what God told him to do. Kill the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Termites, every one of them, right? Kill them all. But because he left them around, later on, they became the stumbling block for him. Well, this person had allowed something that was taken abrasively, a hard truth in the Bible, and was stewing, was dwelling on it, allowing that to be an offense. Now, I say all that to say this. In our lives, as we draw closer to the Lord, as we get into the Word of God, there's going to be some hard truths you come across. There's going to be some things that you're going to read and you're going to be like, God, you want me to do that? Really? I'm supposed to separate from even my family if I have to? He says, you cannot be my disciple. Luke 14, really? These are the qualifications? And there's some times where we're going to look at things where we're going to be like, wow, God, it's getting real. Okay? That's tough. It's hard. But if we love the Word of God and we're going to allow the Spirit of God to work in us, then nothing is going to be too difficult. Nothing will offend us or cause us to quit on God. Nothing will become a stumbling block in the Christian life. We use the phrase around here, eat the meat and throw away the bone, right? There's sometimes where we can't process some of the heavy stuff. Well, chew on the meat that you got. We'll process the heavy stuff later. Okay? Process what you can process, because everybody in this room is at a different place spiritually speaking. So process what you can process, and we'll come back to the rest later as we grow in the Lord. Here, nothing in our lives and nothing in the Word of God should keep us from walking with God. Nothing should ruin our relationship. Nothing should become an obstacle. Nothing should be a stumbling block. We should continually be able to press on and forward for the cause of Christ. The Bible says a just man falls 7 times and riseth again. There's going to be times, yeah, where we're going to get tripped up by things. And sometimes you might get tripped up by truth. All right? And it's not meant to hurt anybody. Sometimes we've got a slap of reality that we need. Just like when you're training your children. There's a truth that they need to understand. And sometimes that discipline has to be done. It doesn't mean that your relationship with them has been wrecked and ruined. It doesn't mean that you've disowned them as a child. Maybe one last mouth to feed. But all that means is there was a hindrance right there. That child then can use that to learn from and become better, or they can use that disciplinary action to become an offense and drive a wedge. Correct? We've all been there. And many of us may have been there when we were younger with our parents. I just don't think I should have gotten in trouble for that. Yeah, and you're still throwing a fit about it 30 years later. Okay, let go. We talked about that this morning. Forgive them. Move on. Great peace have they which love the law, nothing shall offend them. 3 simple steps on how we can live our lives without being offended or without allowing it to hinder us. Offenses will come, but how do we not let them hinder us? Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. The greatest example we can start with is Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at Jesus Christ here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. When you don't know what to do, just look up. It'll fix a lot of things. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus Christ, in this verse, the Bible says, he endured the cross. The cross was a punishment for criminals, not for the Son of God. Not for somebody who was sinless and perfect. The Bible says he despised the shame, or in spite of the shame, regardless of what kind of shame it may have brought. He knew what he needed to do. The Bible tells us here that we're to look unto Jesus because he showed us how to endure. He showed us how to despise the shame. And because of that, God has exalted him in glory. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The first step for us on how not to be offended. By the way, these are not deep at all. They're just very practical. The first step on how not to be offended is, number one, get over yourself. Get over yourself. Because this is where it all starts. This is where the rubber meets the road. The reason many a times we are offended is because, do they not know who I am? Do they not know my title? It says it right here. I wear it on a placard everywhere I go. Do they not know? How dare they talk to me that way? Let me ask you a question, and you can respond. Did anybody ever offend Jesus? Yes or no? No. Just think about it. The offense as far as the actual hurt. Did anybody ever try to offend Jesus? Yes. Did Jesus ever get offended and take it personally? No. See, there's where we've got to make the connection. People are going to try to offend us. There are times in your life where people will go out of their way to try to find you and offend you. I was a teenager at one time. And there were times, as a sarcastic, smart-mouthed little teenager, where I often got myself in a lot of trouble. And there were times where I tried to just pick at certain people. Now, I know our kids would never do that because they're little angels, albeit fallen angels, but I'm just kidding. But I used to pick constantly. And if I knew something got under somebody's skin, man, it was the end of the world for them. I was coming back to that one because that was fun. And I enjoyed doing that. So there were times where I would seek certain people out just to try to offend them. So that's immature. Yeah, I was a teenager. It's okay. It's under the blood. Praise God. But what I'm saying is there are people, and you may even have some coworkers, that will do whatever they can to try to get under your skin. Had a coworker I worked with over at Lowe's. He knew I did not like certain, well, I didn't like cursing at all, but specifically I would rather them not say certain words around me. And it seemed like every time he came around me, he just began to overuse the word. Just regularly. I asked somebody one time, I said, does he talk like that all the time? I said, no, just around you. Okay. Praise the Lord. Just chuckle, move on. What were they doing? They were trying to offend. Trying to get under the skin. I had one guy told me, he would always come to me with these different church jokes that would paint preachers in a bad light. Because that's how the world views people. Did people try to offend Jesus? Yes. Did he ever let them offend him? No. He never took it personal. Then we need to ask ourselves the question, did Jesus ever retaliate when somebody tried to offend him? The answer again is no. But that's our response. That's what we do. Because again, don't you know who I am? I've got a title. Sometimes we take ourselves too seriously. My youth director used to remind us teenagers regularly that we weren't as important as we thought we were. Constructive criticism. He would often remind us that, he said, you do realize that you think about yourself a whole lot more than others are thinking about you right now. Well, I wonder what so-and-so's thinking about me. Well, they're not. You're thinking about you. They're not thinking about you at all. You're overwhelmed with who you think you are, and you take yourself way too seriously. And many times in our lives, we get hurt feelings, and they're caused by disappointments because we didn't receive certain things that we thought we were entitled to, because we didn't receive a position we thought we had earned, maybe rightfully so. We didn't receive applause. Well, so-and-so recognized him, but he didn't say anything about me. Well, real quick, we'll come back to this. Why'd you do it to begin with? If we did it to be recognized, we did it for the wrong reasons anyway. But if we did it to be a blessing, then God will take care of the recognition in the end. And sometimes we receive disappointment because we didn't get credit. And we felt like it belonged to us. And we begin to take offense. We didn't get a job promotion that we were up for because we were overlooked. My grandpa, before he had passed, he had told me several different stories, war stories. There were some things he wouldn't talk about. He wouldn't talk about the Vietnam War. But there were several times that he would talk about these different stories. And I knew when he would get worked up, he'd begin to tell a story about somebody that had passed him over because she was a woman and they were trying to be politically correct. Even back in that day. And he would begin to go through it, and you could just see the vein in his neck just start throbbing while he's telling you a story. He was reliving all the hurt, reliving the offense. It wore him down. Many a times we allow offenses because I'm somebody. Now listen, everybody's somebody in God's eyes, okay? But we're just not as important as we think we are. I'm trying to be kind. I'm trying to be tactful and nice. But we think about ourselves too much, and many a times too seriously. I was taught a long time ago, learn to laugh at yourself because everybody else already is. Yeah, my youth director said that too. You remember, Brother Tart used to tell us that regularly. Just learn to laugh at yourself. Everybody else already is. I appreciate that. He did a lot for my self-esteem, just so you know. Go to Romans chapter number 12. Everybody okay? Trying to help you. If we're going to not get offended, if we're going to not let our spiritual walk with God get ruined and wrecked or an obstacle to show up, we've got to first get over ourselves. We become the biggest hindrance in our walk with God. We do. Not anybody else. Well, so-and-so didn't, whatever, fill in the blank. Okay, what they did or did not do has no bearing on you walking with God. We become our greatest hindrance. We become our greatest obstacle. Well, I didn't read my Bible because I was too busy helping so-and-so. No. You chose to do that first. We're all mature in here, I think. Well, some of the kids aren't, but we're getting there. We got to take responsibility for our own actions. Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I quoted that verse this morning. Some people make it impossible, but you're going to do everything you can to make it possible. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. God says He's going to take care of the venging part. The vengeance. The revenge. The retaliation. Our responsibility is to live peaceably with all men. Let's go to Proverbs. Let me show you some things. I understand it is hot in here. We're going to make sure next week we have both air conditioners running all afternoon instead of just the one. Summertime's here, but I'll make the necessary adjustments. Proverbs 15. Verse 13, the Bible says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Somebody did me wrong. And many times we allow that to take our joy away. Many times we allow that to break our spirit. Well, when that breaks our spirit, that becomes a stumbling block for us. And then it becomes a hurt that we've got to forgive, or we can't move further for Christ. All right? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 19. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with a lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Here the Bible tells us that we're to have a humble spirit with the lowly. The lowly are those that don't get recognized. Than to divide the spoil with the proud. The proud are constantly dividing the spoil. The proud are the ones who got all the war stories. Oh, did you hear about what I did to so-and-so? The arrogant. They've got a story about how they've wronged somebody, how they've offended. The Bible says better is it to be of a humble spirit because it's not about us. It's about our God. The Christian life, listen, the Christian life is less about us and more about Christ. John the Baptist said in John 3:30, He must increase, but I must decrease. The word must is used for both of them. Meaning that He must be the one who's up here, and I must be the one who's down here. In order for the Christian life to work, it must be that way. That's a priority. But we like to get it out of order. Proverbs chapter 17. Look at verse number 22. Similar to what we've read. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Again, if people would just learn how to laugh, just enjoy. Now, as I've stated, and the kids, they know what I'm about to say because I say it regularly in the Christian school. When joking becomes one-sided, it's called bullying. So I'm not making light of any of this. But I am saying that we need to learn not to take ourselves so seriously. There are people who want to joke with everybody else and make them the brunt of the joke. But if you try to flip it on them, oh, you're in for it. And they get offended quick. Well, we have a remedy in our Christian school for that too. If you can't take it, then don't dish it. You just can't talk about anybody. It's that simple. If you can't handle people messing with you, then you can't turn around and mess with other people. Because there's a lot of people like that. I'm good at picking on everybody else, but when somebody says something about me, your hair's not right, the part's not straight, your teeth are crooked, or whatever, just make fun of them. I enjoy jokes, and I enjoy really good ones. And you ask these kids, I'll laugh when somebody makes a good joke on me. Regularly, it happens. I usually fire back with something else. But we learn how to take things. What am I saying? Don't take yourself so seriously. Get over yourself. Okay? It's not always about us. We need to learn how to laugh at things. How can I not be offended? Well, first, get over yourself. And we can make the application in the Christian life that if I'm going to read the Word of God and have a relationship with God, then it has to be more of God and less of me. So initially, I have to get over myself anyway, because it's not about me. It's about Christ in me. Isn't that what Paul said? Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, I've quoted this verse regularly, but I want you to get it. So number one, if we're not going to be offended in the Christian life, we're not going to allow something to become a stumbling block, something to wreck us, something to ruin our lives, first, we've got to get over ourselves. Secondly, we've got to get in the Scriptures. Get over yourself and get in the Scriptures. Go back to Psalms 119. You know verse 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So we are told that we are to love the Word of God. Right? Great peace have they which love thy law. In Psalms 119, look at verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? Here we are told to live according to the Word of God. How can I clean my life up? I've got to take heed or practice the Word of God. In verse number 11, same chapter, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Here I am commanded to memorize the Word of God. So I'm told to live according to the Word of God in verse 9. Then I'm told to memorize the Word of God in verse number 11. I'm told to love the Word of God in verse 165. Verse number 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Here again, he says he loves the Word of God. Go back with me to Psalms chapter number 1. Psalms chapter number 1. Look at verse number 2. Here it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So here I am supposed to meditate on the Word of God. Now, we're not talking about the meditate, my legs are killing me, all right? We're not talking about that. We're talking about meditating as in ruminating, like a cow ruminates or chews the cud. That means they'll chew on it a little bit, swallow it, regurgitate it back up, and chew on it some more. I know, it's quite disgusting.
But that's what they do. They're out in the field and they're grazing and they take all the grazing grass and they eat it. Like Gavin when he's eating at a buffet. But the difference is cows have four stomachs. Oh, man. Some of you teenage boys wish you had four stomachs. Amen. That'd be a blessing. Then the cow later in the day will be standing in the field somewhere and you'll see a cow just they regurgitate it back. I know, it's being a little disgusting. They'll regurgitate it back up and then you'll see them. They're chewing again. They're reminded, I remember that meadow. That meadow was good. I want some more. And they get a little bit more, right? But what happens in your life? We're to meditate on the Word of God. Meaning, as we read the Word of God, sometimes later in the day, you're going to be reminded, man, I read that earlier. That was good. Man, I remember God did this. I'm just going to stew on that for a minute. That was good. And what do we do? We tend to want to tell somebody what God showed us. Why? Because we've meditated on it. We've ruminated a little bit. We've chewed on it a little bit more. I'm processing that. That's good. I'm gonna look that back up. I'm gonna remember that one. I'm gonna write that down. We've all had times like that. Here we're to meditate on the Word of God. Go back with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 8, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate, again, therein, day and night. Why? Why should I meditate on the Word of God? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. If you're going to observe to do something, that means you're planning on it. We observe Christmas time. We plan get-togethers. We observe the Lord's Supper. We plan to do that. And we plan to participate. So here, if I'm meditating on the Word of God, I'm then going to observe to do it. I'm going to plan to fulfill what God has shown me. Does that make sense? According to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. If we were to raise a hand here tonight, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Every one of us, our hands would go up if I asked, do you want to be a success? I don't know anybody that doesn't want to be a success. All of our hands would go up if I asked, do you want to be prosperous? All of our hands would go up, I want to be prosperous. Here we're told if we would just meditate and do the Word of God, that we'd be prosperous and a good success. Both things that we strive for. What do I have to do? I've got to meditate on the Bible and I've got to obey the Bible. Go to 1 Timothy. These are just a few commands. And we can go to tons of scriptures tonight, but we're not going to. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13. Here Paul is talking to a young man of God, Timothy. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Here we are told, simply, to read the Word of God. I've heard people say, there's not a command in the Bible not to read. I've made that statement, ignorantly. It's right there. Till I come, give attendance to reading. If that's not a command to read, I don't know what is. It's right there. What is he supposed to read? Well, to exhortation, to doctrine. Evidently, if he's got to give attendance to doctrine, he needs to read doctrine. Well, what was given for doctrine? The Word of God. That's just comparing Scripture with Scripture. Again, we all make ignorant statements. I just like to admit mine. 1 Peter, chapter number 2. 1 Peter, chapter number 2. Look at verse number 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Here we're to desire the Word of God. We're to feed on the Word of God.
These are just simple commands in Scripture that tell us what we're to do with the Word of God. So if I'm not going to be offended in this Christian life, I've got to get over myself, but I've got to get into the Scriptures. I've got to get into the book that's going to teach me how to walk with God. It's going to teach me how not to let certain things just get to me. Well, you just don't understand. They just know how to get under my skin. Okay? They may know how to get under your old skin as a lost person. But last time I checked, the Holy Spirit was under your skin now. Think about that one. Which means they don't know how to get under the Holy Spirit's skin. So we've got to walk in the Spirit so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do I walk in the Spirit? I got to get in the book. Got to get in the Word. Get over yourself. Secondly, get into the Scriptures. And thirdly, go to Galatians chapter 6. And we'll be done. Get over yourself. Get into the Scriptures. And then thirdly, Galatians chapter 6. Look at verse number 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. If we're going to live a life that is not a life of offense, where I'm going from this offense to the next offense, to, well, they did me wrong, so I'm going to leave church and go over here. Okay. Keep doing that and see how that works out for you in your life. All you're going to do is burn every bridge that you ever come to. And then you're going to try to go back and rebuild it, and everybody's, no, we paid the fare. We've seen that. We know how it ends. I've seen this movie. We know how it ends, right? Been there, done that, got the t-shirt for all you 90s kids. I said that before, and these teenagers don't understand that. It's like, because every time we did something, we bought the t-shirt for it. That was a thing. And then you got everybody to sign the back of it. So been there, done that, I got the t-shirt. That's what it means. Moving on. If I'm going to live my life not offended by things, I've got to get over myself. Okay? I've got to put me to the side. I've got to get into the Scriptures. And then thirdly, I need to learn how to glory in the Savior. I've got to learn how to glory in the Savior. You see, this Christian life's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about us. And you know what? For those that take themselves too seriously, that's a hard pill to swallow. You mean something's not about me? Yes. Newsflash. The world doesn't revolve around you. I know. It's harder for kids to understand that because every time they cry, we run. Every time they ask, we do. Right? And then they hear the word no, and you ruin their lives. Right? No? What does that mean? Why? Yeah, okay. That's what kids do. Right? Oops. But we got to learn how to glory in the Savior. Meaning this, the things that you do, who gets the glory for it? Who gets the glory? What does Paul say? But God forbid that I should glory. God forbid that I get the credit, because credit's not mine. God forbid that I get my name somewhere. Okay? God forbid that we talk about so-and-so because we don't want them getting a big head. No, we say those things jokingly, but God forbid that I should glory. He says, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, if I'm going to glory in something, I'm going to glory in what my Savior did for me. I'm not going to glory in what I've done, because what I've done doesn't amount to anything at all. It's all about what He did. And if I'm going to televise something, if I'm going to proclaim something, if I'm going to glory, if I'm going to shine the neon flashing lights on something, it's going to be on what God did for me, not on what I did for Him. Because what I did for Him, He could use anybody else to do that. He could use anybody else. He just chose to use us. But if we're going to make a big deal about something tonight, let's make a big deal about what God did for us. Let's make a big deal about our Savior. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because nobody ever loved me like God loved me. Nobody ever gave to me like God gave to me. Now listen, I can't explain to you. Brother Anthony and I, we've talked about it countless times. And I can't explain to you what God is doing in our church. Okay? I can't begin to explain it. All I know is God keeps providing, so we're going to keep doing. How does it? I don't know how He does it. God puts something on somebody's heart, they give a little bit extra, and it provides for us to be able to do the next thing. I don't know how it works. I just know God's people are faithful, and they do what God tells them to do. It's not about me. Okay? It's not about any of us. It's about the God that we serve. The reason somebody does anything good, because in us dwells no good thing, the Bible says. Romans chapter 3. In me dwells no good thing. There is none that doeth good. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3. Romans 7 is in me dwells no good thing. As a matter of fact, our body is a body of death, Paul says. So if there's anything good that comes out, it's got to be somebody else, not us. Well, that's where Jesus Christ comes in. It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's Christ through me. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. This is where we connect Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified. What am I crucified from? I crucify my flesh. I crucify my worldly desires. I crucify me. I put old man on the cross. And I step out of the way and let God do what God wants to do. We've got to learn how to do that. And the only way we're going to make sure that we don't get offended in the Christian life and we don't allow an offense to hinder us from staying faithful to God, number one, we've got to get over ourselves because we get in the way. I can't speak for you. I can speak for me, though. And I can speak a lot for me. I get in the way often. There are times where I get in the way. Okay? We've got to get over ourselves. Secondly, I've got to get in that book. I've got to get in the Scriptures. Because if I'm going to learn how to live for God, it's only going to come from His Word. It's not going to come from what I think should be done, because my mind is not always spiritual. Like I told you, at the red light, you're going to kill somebody 3 times before you hit gas, you know? It's like, argh! There have been several times where I got cut off and just look at somebody as I'm driving by. Bless God. When they've been very glad I'm in a church van. Remember that, Anthony? God's name's on the side of this van. We get offended. We got to get in that book to get ourselves right. And then when we get in the book, we get in the Scriptures, we've got to determine that as we live our lives, it's not going to be about us. It's going to be about our Savior. That's how we can not be offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. One last verse and we're done. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse number 10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. I know several folks in the room tonight love this specific verse. And we should all be able to say that we love this specific verse because it defines us. Here Paul tells the church of Corinth, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Which means that it was not a waste. It's not empty. Meaning that God's going to get a term that I hear regularly in the business world. God's going to get an ROI, a return on investment. It wasn't given to me in vain. God wants to see a return in my life. I am He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Here, Paul reminds us, we still battle with the flesh. He says, I still did it. I still labored. But notice what he says. Here's the difference. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul came to a point in his life where he realized it was less about him and more about the grace that God's given him. He said, I labored abundantly, but it wasn't me. It was the grace God gave me. And the things that we're able to do for God, it's not because we're anything great. The things you know about the Bible, it's not because you're a Bible scholar. It's not because I know anything at all. I'm not a Bible scholar. It's the grace that God gives us. Now we can take and somebody can praise us and we can allow that to go to our heads, or we can deflect the glory back to God where it belongs and just praise the Lord for what He's done. Now listen, I understand. Sometimes it feels good to hear a thank you. Sometimes it feels good for somebody just to recognize you for what you've done. I was talking with a guy several years ago. I won't share you his name. Came up here during the summer. Was doing some work with us. Was in the ministry serving today. I talked to him regularly. And I told him we was out doing some work. I said, brother, if you're going to make it in the ministry, you've got to come to the realization that 80% of what you do is going to go unrecognized and unnoticed. Most people aren't going to notice it. You're going to do it? They may not recognize it, but you've got to remember, you're living this life for the audience of one. So it doesn't matter if anybody else recognizes what's being done. It doesn't matter if anybody else gives accolades. The fact is, we shouldn't be doing it for that. We should be doing it for the glory of God. And if we can get to the point in our Christian lives where everything we do for the glory of God, you won't allow a simple misunderstanding or even a direct offense, you won't allow that to stop you from serving God. Because it's not about us. It's about the God we serve. Stand with me with head bowed and eyes closed.